the Lord Jesus should finish up this prayer in this manner. I in them. That's how he finished his prayer. You might have thought he would have started with that and then finished up with, I back in the glory with thee, Father, the glory that I had with thee before the world was. You might have thought that that was the peak. You might have thought that that was the great high note on which to finish his prayer. But it seems as though before he left the heaven, the earth, his heart ascended the highest heaven and back into the glory there, and then came right down here again. Like that. I in them. What a tremendous thing this is about the Lord Jesus. I ought to be able to look on you this morning and say, Jesus. In them, Jesus. I ought to be able to look out over you all and just see and recognize and hear and handle Jesus. What a prayer in his heart. You know, it's a thrill to realize. And I've heard sermons along this line. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I can give you an outline for a sermon, see? And the second one is, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And the third one, here's the high peak, Galatians 2:20. He loved me and gave himself for me. But there's a greater revelation. Don't end your sermon there. It's I in them, not just I in him. That's not what Jesus is after. He's not saying, oh, I want to be in Paul. He says, I want to be in them. Glory be to God. I in them. Glory, glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's wanting. Oh, isn't it wonderful? I don't know. You can never say what's in your heart, really. The human tongue cannot cope with the revelations that God brings and the imaginations that God brings into the heart of him who is sanctified by the Spirit. Tremendous, towering conceptions of eternal truth. Oh, it's so glorious. I in them, he said. Amen. Can you feel it? Can you sense it? I in them. This is what he means at the beginning of the chapter when he said, Father, lifting up his eyes and praying. He says at the end of verse 1, I want to glorify thee as thou hast given me, I'm just changing, as thou hast given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. This is his great prayer. He has power over all flesh, beloved. All my flesh, he hath power over it. To give me eternal life, the life that he lived in the flesh. Oh, glory. What a wonderful thing. And this is that saying that was on his lips, that except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you haven't any life in you. You may talk about a day when you have opened your heart to Jesus, and you may talk about a conversion. You have to do all these. You have to have a conversion. You have to open your heart to Jesus. You have to trust Him wholly. You have to get forgiven. You have to have all these things. But the glory of God is this, that I have eternal life in me when I eat His flesh and I drink His blood. Amen. What a precious thing this is. That you see, in all my heredity in the flesh, in its ethical and moral, I was going to say, but rather amoral or immoral or what it is, aspects, I've built up a life in the flesh of myself when I was away from and outside of Christ, that now I abominate and hate and don't want it anymore. And I look at the life that He lived in the flesh, and I see the whole of the ethical and the moral and the wonderful characteristics and qualities of Him. And I say, I'm eating that. That's what I want. And I know that that flesh, that life in the flesh came from that blood, and that flesh was the moulding of that blood, and the life of that blood was in the flesh, and then the life of the flesh was in the blood when He laid it down. And I come and I drink His blood, and moment by moment there builds up in me the life of His flesh, and I eat His flesh and I drink His blood, and I'm all the kind of man that God wants me to be. Bless the name of the Lord. Glory, isn't it wonderful? God His Father gave Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as the Father gave Him. I in them, He said, I in them, or not just in some sort of symbolical, ethereal, spiritual, evanescent sort of sense that to try and conjure up, but in the reality of daily living, I in them. Glory be to the name of the Lord. What our young brother has ministered to us already this morning, I thought, glory, Lord, when he preached that. Hallelujah. It's glory to receive revelation and minister it out, beloved. Amen, isn't it? And here we are. He gives eternal life, this kind of eternal life, that I can take back to Him in that day, the life I've lived in the flesh, not just the life I've lived in conferences and meetings, not just the life I've lived in the Spirit, but the life I've lived in the flesh. Oh, glory! The salvation of my entire life. The sanctification of every thought and word and deed. Oh, what a thing as God promises. This thing He's held out to our view. This marvelous life that was once manifest in the flesh. Seen of angels, these principalities and powers that our brother's been talking about. Seen of angels. This is the wonder of it, that they see that actual life in the church. They see it again and they can't see it in themselves. And they can see God humbled for a season again in us. I in them. Oh, glory. Isn't it precious? Oh, hallelujah. It thrills my soul. You see, beloved, God has given us a life. He has not given us a religion. Neither has he given us a way of life. He's given us life. Amen. Don't you get carried away when people stand up and talk about the Christian way of life. They're talking about things they don't understand. He's given us life. That's what he's given us. He hasn't given us services. We're all at our best in them. He's life. It's a matter of being born, drinking milk, and eating bread and butter, and going to school, and college, and going to work, and falling in love, and getting married, and having babies, and raising up a family. It's a matter of life. It isn't a matter of going to church and practicing your gifts. We turn it into a religion. But he's given us a life. Amen. He's given us a life in the flesh. Praise God. In the flesh. To eat his flesh. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful that the meat he's feeding us on today is the life that Jesus lived in the flesh? Amen. Glory. Praise his wonderful name. To do the will of God. This is what he says. Thou hast given me authority over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee. If you don't know this kind of eternal life, you don't know God. You've got to know not a God right up in there now, you've got to know a God in your flesh. But you'll know him then. I know the chap that lives in here. I think I do. My wife might know him better, I don't know. You better ask her. I know him. It's in the flesh. It isn't in my best prophesying. It isn't in my melodious singing. It isn't in my this. It isn't in that. It's in the flesh. And if I don't know him in the flesh, I don't know him. He's a myth. He's the God of the Christian church. The idol. But he's the Jesus here that can make me live, can make me love my wife as he would have loved a wife if he'd had one on the earth, and make me love my children and act toward them in public and in private as he would have done. It's to make me love my neighbor. It's to make me love my enemy. It's to make me take the smack on the other cheek and say, "You'd smack the other one, go on." That's it. If it isn't that, you haven't got it. You're deceived. You're deceived. This is the great deception that's descended on the Christian church. God save us from it. If it isn't something that's sweet in your closet, if it isn't something that's glorious everywhere you go, it may be you've only just begun, so it won't be too harsh on you. It's got to grow into this. Lest discouragement run side by side with exhortation. But beloved, this is what it is. It's being able to live clean, to love clean, to kiss pure, to shake hands properly, to read properly, to move amongst men and women. It's alive. It's alive. It's to be able to hug to your heart purely and gloriously. It's to be able to take the knocks and the kicks and to glory in everything. It's in the flesh, it's in the flesh. To do the will of God. I want to tell you, I was up the other day and my fellow minister, he said to me one day, he'd been preaching for about an hour, and then he turned around and said to me, "I'd like to hear you talk about the new heart, brother." So we had about half an hour on the new heart, you see. But I want to tell you, beloved, there's something more than a new heart, and it's better than a new heart in its manifestation, and that's new flesh. New flesh. New flesh. Oh, glory. New flesh, brother. New flesh. That in its ethical and moral and godlike qualities, it is comparable with the living Christ, the man of Galilee. Amen. So now you'll know. And having said that, he says, I, verse part 4, I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work. I've glorified thee. I've got a body to God's glory. I've got a flesh to God's glory. Amen. The love wherewith thou hast loved me in them, and I in them. Our brother spoke of angels looking at us this morning and wondering what it's all about. But oh, beloved, it's Jesus looking at us. Looking on us. Feeling us. Handling us. Listening to us. In perfect love. My flesh. If you really get good enough, if you really get to the place where it's possible, he might even let you be martyred for him. And in that sense, offer your flesh. He might even let you be stoned to death for him. He might even let you really, offer your very flesh to the very end. He might. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And in this sense, you can know whether you're of the world or whether you're not of the world. If you're not of the world will hate you. Now you know whether you're of the world or not. If you're not living the worldly life of the flesh, if you're not going to fulfill the flesh in all the ways the world fulfills the flesh, it'll hate you. If you got the flesh of God, amen, on this earth, Father will love you. Father will love you. It'll all be fulfilled. Jesus will be able to say, I in them, that's where I am. I'm in them. Isn't that marvelous? And so when we eat this bread and we drink this wine, we know that isn't his flesh. We know that isn't his blood. We know that, don't we? If you want to feel his flesh, touch the person sitting next to you. Be careful where you put your hand, but touch them. His flesh. That's why you've got to honor it. That's why you've got to be very careful how you dress it. Especially you young ladies. Let your frocks down a bit more, will you? That's his flesh. You're not here to try and catch some sexy glance from a man. You're here to dress properly. Oh, I'm not scolding you. I'm talking to you like a dad. Because I love you. You're not here to attract fleshy glances. There's a young man's already been to me in this conference. He said, Mr. Lord, I want to talk to you. Already. A young man. If you women, if you girls knew what you did to young men to cause lust and sin to come in them from the devil, you'd be ashamed and you'd walk about, not to be in the fashion of Maxi, but you'd walk about with your frocks about an inch off the ground if you knew. You young ladies don't know what you're doing. Or if you do know what you're doing and you're still doing it, go repent. Before God, a young man wanted to know, his soul mixed up, he couldn't tell what was happening to him. A young sanctified man. What's wrong? That's Jesus' flesh. Jesus' flesh. Isn't it? Come on, all you ladies. Tell him whether it's Jesus' flesh or not. And then go and ask him what length of clothes you're to wear. Will you? I'm going to dress your body, Lord Jesus. You young men. His flesh. His flesh. So that when you read that word flesh in the epistles a little later, with all its carking rottenness, the sins and wickednesses and lusts of the flesh, you'll be able to say, that's the kind of flesh that mine used to be, Lord Jesus. But not that now. Not that now. We're going to live pure. We're going to live holy. Take that bread in a tryst with Jesus that your flesh is going to be right. Will you? And drink that blood, beloved. And say, from henceforth, Jesus, as I would howl my heart out in desperate fear, if I couldn't say that your blood was shed for my sins. So howl your heart out if you can't say, and from that blood this flesh of mine has now been built up in the spiritual power that gives the flesh its ethical quality and its correctness and its morality and its rightness before thee. How, ye women, and how, ye men, if you delight in it. Not just that, I've come on it because the young man came near at breaking point last night to wonder if he had got a pure heart after all, because of the insistent thing that crashes upon him everywhere he looks. Hallelujah. Pity your brothers, sisters. Pity them. Weep for them. Cry for them. Pray for them. But better still, correct your life. It's the life we live in the flesh that counts. Amen. Now, if you think I've scolded you, if I was to say, stand up every man in this room that believes that this thing is true, I don't think one man would be on this seat. Would you like me to test it, ladies? To see whether it's a bee I've got in my bonnet? Or that I'm a censorious old man and don't know what I'm talking about? Would you like me to test the men for you, ladies? Come on, I'll do it if you want. You know it's right, don't you? And I'm speaking from a right spirit. I'm not on the wrong leg about it. I love you. If you come to me, I'll put my arms round you and love you this morning. But Jesus says that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. And I in them. Hallelujah. 2 years ago in this hall, well, that's probably why it must be living on, I suppose. It was 2 years ago, I think probably it was exactly the same hour, I don't know. Was it the Saturday evening? Do you remember it well, brother? It was in this hall. We had a tremendous conference here then, about 100 less than we are now, praise God. I mean that we're 100 more than we are. God spoke a word to us, and you know it was wonderful. The next morning we saw creases in all the ladies' skirts where they'd let them down. Some of them got raw edges. They looked horrible. From the sartorial point of view. And from the fashion plate point of view. But they looked wonderful. And they obeyed. And didn't we have a conference, brother? Because of obedience. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you a story about it now. One lady had put her name down on the list. She'd put her name down to see me. Norman had always got a list somewhere about. And she'd put her name down on the list. Don't everybody fly to the list, will you? And we're not in the list, so I'm not tilting at you. She'd put her name down on the list to see me. And I got a long list, and it went on for a couple of days, and she sort of looked at me once, twice, and said, sorry, you'll have to come in your turn, we can't jump the queue. And then I think it was about Wednesday, she came to me and she said, I don't want to see you now, Mr. North. I said, praise God. She said, I can't tell you what's happened. But she said, do you know when you spoke on Saturday night, that's right, Saturday night, about the skirts and all that, she said, in my heart, I didn't accept what you said. I wouldn't have that, she said. And I didn't let my skirts down.
But she said, I'll tell you what's happened. I got up this morning and I can't tell you what made me do it. She said, my skirt lay across the chair. She said, and I simply picked up a pair of scissors and I snipped one stitch. She said, and I was free. She said, look. There was the telltale crease, all right. And I said, I'm going to preach about you, sister. Just one small stitch of cotton between you and liberty. That's all. And the devil binds people up in old rags. And stitches of cotton. And they think they need an expert to deliver them. And all they need is deliverance. And no expert can deliver you till you'll obey. If there are any experts, I put that in quotes. Oh, beloved. Jesus Christ claims to have authority over your flesh. And the authority he has over your flesh is to take what you came into the world with, predestined by sin to live out in lust, to come and take it and change it. And make it glorious. Predestined when latterly you leave this body, to bring the sum of the content of the life you've lived in the flesh and present it there and see that it isn't burned away by the eternal fire, but it lives as silver and as gold and as precious jewels forever. When we shan't need flesh anymore, but that the moral content of the flesh, as you've lived down here on the earth, is preserved unto uttermost glory. And we shall see how everybody's lived on the earth then, since the day they professed Christ. You'll see how I've lived. You'll see how I've used or misused or abused this flesh. You'll see. And up there it won't count whether I've preached 50,000 sermons or not. It will count as I've lived this life in the flesh. Amen. Now we're going to eat his flesh and we're going to drink his blood. It's just going to be bread. It's just going to be wine in themselves. They have no intrinsic merit, but they have a spiritual and moral significance. Amen. And we're going to move in as the Lord enables us. We've said earlier, just see that everybody gets it, will you? I don't know whether Norman has already arranged with some brethren. Would you like to do that? Somebody that will just guide the cup or the plate at the end of the row from one row to another. That's all.